Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
Cue theme music.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Love Girls, the podcast. My name is Michaela Hugh Shaw, and I'm the vice president of Love Girls Magazine.
And my name is Jasmine Babers, and I am the founder of Love Girls Magazine. And that noise you might hear is Akari, and he's one of our special guests today.
We're talking about all things young motherhood and just motherhood in general.
We have two very special moms here. One of them, her name is Raquel. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Yeah, and our other mom is Victoria Viren, also known as a ballerina, dancer. How's it going, Victoria?
It's going good.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. So we have two local Quad City women. Raquel, you're from Rock Island, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Victoria, you're not from the Quad Cities, but you've been here for how long now?
About seven and a half years.
And where are you from?
I'm from Orange County, California, but I live in Rock Island right now.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, this weather is a little killer.
It is. This is a rough polar vortex, like they call it, but we're excited to have both of you with us today, though.
Growing up, my dad actually coached a basketball team. And I remember watching you, Raquel, mm-hmm. play basketball for years, actually. And I never really talked to you. I don't know if we ever had like a real conversation, but I remember being in the stands and I was literally obsessed with you. I loved you. I loved what kind of player you were. I loved your game. You were so smart on the court, and I always wanted to be your kind of ball player. So
thank you.
I've always like loved you. So that's like my stalkerish moment of the day. So yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
I was going to ask you a question, Raquel. So you talked about you were pregnant at 19 and then you were pregnant again at 21. Can you talk about your experiences a little bit being a young mom?
Yeah. So when I first found out I was pregnant, I was a freshman in college. Kind of embarrassed just because society today looks down on teens that get pregnant pretty early. I told my dad right away, and he wasn't too happy, but then him and my mom came together and it just became easier. That wasn't a very great pregnancy. I ended up losing the baby.
Yeah.
So I went in for a regular scheduled appointment. It's weekly at this point. I think at 35 weeks is when it's weekly. They try to find the heartbeat. There's no heartbeat, so they did it again. This happened before, so I didn't think much of it. When they brought another nurse in, the same thing happened. So next step was to get an ultrasound. She showed me everything on the baby, and then when it got to the chest cavity, there was no heartbeat. So then right then is when they said I lost the baby. So what I had to do was get induced that night, deliver that night, and yeah, that's what happened.
Well, first, thank you for sharing that, because mm-hmm. I know it's a traumatic experience and it's hard to talk about, but you have been somebody who has used their voice to talk about infant mortality, and I first saw you talk about it on Facebook. Can you talk about what brought you kind of to use your voice and your platform to bring awareness to this issue?
Yeah, I really came to a point where it was just eating me alive. It really was, just thinking about it every day. I just want to say that to any young mom that's been, you know, through what I've been through, talk about it. That's my advice to you. There are plenty of support systems at hospitals, at pregnancy resources, stuff like that, where there are groups and you can talk about what goes on and how you're feeling. And we just want to make sure that you're okay as well. When it happened, I talked to no one, no one about it, mm-hmm. not even family. It was just something that I just kept inside. And as time went on, I just thought about it more and more. And then I started seeing that, you know, people my age and people that I went to school with started going through the same thing. And I just felt like I needed to share my story. Like you said, with the basketball thing, a lot of people knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And I felt that if I were to tell my story and just, you know, just give a little advice, that people would feel more comfortable telling their story, or people will feel comfortable coming and talking to me about stuff like that. So I just felt like I needed to, you know, reach out my hand mm-hmm. for those women that went through the same thing that I did.
Yeah. And what does it feel like when you have women and moms come to you and say, like, thank you for speaking up?
Empowering mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not too many people ask me for advice, but on that specific subject, I felt like a lot of women did, and mm-hmm. I felt like I could help them with stuff like that, or situations like that, or what to do and how to go about it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for just being open and honest about that situation. A lot of people may not know, but infant mortality rates are a lot higher for women of color. So you have a daughter, though.
I do.
And
I
what
do.
Is her name?
Her name's Mahari, and she just turned 3 at the end of December.
Mm-hmm. And Victoria, what is your son's name?
Akari.
We just thought that was so cute that they have Mahari and Akari. Yeah. Well, thank you again. So, Victoria, tell us a little bit about what it felt like when you realized that you were going to be a mom.
I think my initial reaction was just kind of scared, because that's a big life change. But I don't know. My parents were the first people that I told, and they were really supportive. I kind of just kept it to myself and my family for the first couple months to make sure everything went smoothly.
I have a question for both of you. What are some of the stereotypes that you either have experienced or know about when it comes to young motherhood that are just completely just stereotypes?
I think people think when you have a child at a young age, that you're automatically going to throw your child off on your parent. Mm. When Ooh. You're young and you have a child, some stereotypes are that you won't be taking care of your child because mm-hmm. you'll still be out there doing what kids your age are doing, and your child's not your priority, and that's not the case at all.
Yeah,
I completely agree with that. I think a lot of people think that when you're a young mom, you're just gonna drop your kid off and go out and party every weekend or do things that don't hold up to any responsibility. I think it's really the complete opposite, though. Like, Akari's with me everywhere I go. I don't go out, but I'm okay with that. I think that's probably the biggest stereotype. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, Akari's with you today. Right now. Yeah.
Well. Also, when you do get a moment and you do get to go out, a lot of people are asking, you know, aren't you a mother? Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, like, can I go out? You know, have a time to myself, or have a night to myself, have a day to myself. A lot of people look at that weird, too, when you do finally get a day to yourself and you're out.
I feel like people do, it's kind of like mom shaming. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's a thing, and I don't know why it's a thing, because mm-hmm. everybody needs to decompress sometimes. No, like, man, moms work so hard. It never ends, and we're never paid for it. So we should be allowed to breathe for one night and not feel the guilt of it, because I can guarantee moms would rather be spending time with their kids anyways. I mean, cuddling up with your kid at the end of the night, that's better than anything you could be doing. But we need it sometimes.
Yeah.
So you both talked a lot about how in the beginning it was hard. Can you talk about some of the things that you found to be hard when you guys became mothers for the first time?
Yeah. First coming back from the hospital, you're worked up on so many like hormones and just everything has changed completely, mentally and physically. For me, I know it was a struggle just in a lot of pain from postpartum. And then you have a newborn. Akari never slept, so I was up pretty much every night. And I don't know. It's just like everything and the change of a complete change of lifestyle, it's really heavy in the beginning. I know for me, like, something as little as taking a shower every day became like the only thing that could brighten my day up in the first few months of after he was born. It's just like the simple things of getting sleep or eating a hot meal, like all of that, it's thrown off and it makes it hard.
Yeah, I agree. Eating and hygiene schedule, that was pretty hard. Breastfeeding thing was hard to catch on, like finding a regular schedule with that was pretty hard. Finding where to put her or someone to watch her while you took a shower or while you cooked, that was something that was pretty hard too. Also, when you have a newborn, you try to stay in the house as much as possible. But when you gotta go to the store and you have to take the baby out, like you have to find the right clothes. It was winter when I had Hari, so I had to find the right clothes. I had to bundle her up. Then I gotta take everything out. Then you get in the car. Oh my God, I forgot the bag. Oh my God, I forgot the milk. And it's just all bad. Like it's crazy because you go in the hospital worrying, you know, obviously worrying about your baby, but you just had to take care of yourself and what was in your tummy at the time. Leaving the hospital, you have a whole nother being with you that you have to take care of.
Yeah.
So that it's pretty hard finding a schedule that can accommodate for both of you.
Yeah. So you both talked about when you found out that you were pregnant, you guys told your parents, and you also touched on like having like family support. Can you talk a little bit more about who supported you, how they supported you, and what that support meant to you?
My dad was the first person I told. I don't know why. It was just, he's pretty easy to talk to. My mom knew, because moms know everything. She knew before I knew. But as soon as they found out, they had some words for me, which was, I wish you would have waited a little longer. They want you to have this type of establishment before you start a family, before you do anything. But as soon as that conversation was over, it was, okay, we need to do this. We need to do that. We need to go find you a doctor, prenatals. We just got to get you ready for this baby. You got to be healthy. If you're not healthy, the baby's not healthy. So let's get this going. And
yeah, my parents were just, they were the first people that I told. And they were really supportive from the very beginning. My parents are a little older, so they've been, you know, deep down, they've wanted a grandchild for a while. So they were, I know, like, my dad was really excited. But the first thing that they did was go out to the store and get prenatal vitamins and make sure that everything's set up and good to go. Akari's dad was really supportive, really, like, helpful throughout the whole thing, his whole family, my whole family. I don't know, without them, it would be a lot harder. It really does take like a village to raise a child from beginning to end. And I'm really thankful for everybody in my village.
It's like you gain a new family.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
We've talked a lot about what's been hard about being a mom and being a young mom, but what are some of the rewarding moments? What is like your favorite part?
One part that I can remember was being called mommy for the first time. I know it might not mean much to anybody or to people that aren't mothers, but that is just something unexplainable. Being called mommy is very heartwarming. And then you're mommy now. You're mommy. Mommy does this. Mommy does that. And mommy is basically a hero.
I completely agree. That's one of the best feelings. I think you get to come home and you get to crawl into bed and just cuddle up with your kid. And you feel like you have a purpose and you're not defeated and you're on top of the world no matter what happens.
Well, thank you, Raquel and Victoria and Akari, for joining us today. We really appreciate your conversation and you guys being so brave and also being spokespeople for young moms and showing how strong you guys are.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for listening to Love Girls, the podcast, where every girl has a story.